Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. I hope you get some satisfaction because it's Friday. Let's go. I was thinking about my CBS Sports Minute, and I couldn't come up with anything, any one particular controversial topic that I felt like writing about or that I could even encapsulate in, say, 25 seconds, because somehow that makes up a minute. But instead, I settled on how the world of sports is in the giving spirit, is in the holiday spirit. 'Tis the season, baby, and it's one of those weekends. Everywhere we look as sports fans, boom. Oh, that's early. Now see, it's early. It's about 53 minutes too early. Jay, what are you doing in there? Jay got a little nervous and hit the boom long before it was supposed to.
Oh, my bad.
Right. Conference championship weekend with the final college football playoff rankings to be revealed on Sunday. Before the rest of week 13 kicks off, then we've got a slew of battles between teams with winning records. Of course, there's NBA. Of course, there's NHL. I saved the best for last, though. Biggest stage in sport, the World Cup. Team USA has a prime time spot. Well, prime time in Qatar. Not prime time here unless you kind of look at it as a way to wake up, get your coffee, watch soccer before you do anything else. I think that's a great idea. Let the kids watch some extra cartoons. Put off the studying. Put off the yard work. Stay in your watch in your pajamas. What more could you ask for? Coffee and a World Cup game in the knockout stage. I'm telling you, I'm already getting nervous. In fact, I'm trying not to think about it because it makes me nervous. We had this really cool guest on the show earlier tonight, last night, whatever your perspective. He is a former member of the U-17 and U-21 U.S. national squads, meaning he played in the U.S. national team system on both the under-17 and under-21 squad. So he competed for the red, white, and blue around the globe, and actually was one of the first Americans ever to sign in Italy to play for a club team in Italy. Vincenzo Bernardo, maybe you've heard of his name. Now he is running a youth soccer academy in New Jersey because he's so mindful and cognizant of what soccer gave him in his life, and he wants to give that back. And so we had a chance to catch up with him earlier in the show to get his reaction to what the U.S. men's national team has done so far and what's in store against the Dutch, and also what it's like to wear the red, white, and blue. Well, maybe try to bring back part of that interview, but I know we have a jam-packed hour. We've got the other half, the other shoe dropping in QB news. As we get you set for week 13, we've got a poll up. What is, what should be, what will be the after hours game of the week? So you can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. It's a lively, spirited competition early on. And as I say, no one has yet written in. We've had a couple of write-in votes for Giants and Commanders. And I think there was, hold on. There was one other game that got some write-in votes too. Oh, Dallas and the Colts, but that comes from Cowboys fans. And I understand it. I would say don't overlook any team. There's no such thing as a cream puff in the NFL. And if you do overlook the team, you're likely to get bit in the rear end. So don't do that. But I can understand why Cowboys fans are excited. This team, to me, has struck the right note and has a winning formula. And by the time you get through the NFC Beast, you're all about getting battle-tested week in and week out. So a lot of games still to go in divisions, and the ones down the stretch in the East are going to be tremendous. A little bit like what we were hoping for or expecting, maybe not expecting. I don't know. I can't speak for you. The game between the Bills and Patriots started out extremely competitive, and yet the second Buffalo settled into its rhythm, Josh Allen saw a lot of pressure. Give the Patriots defense credit. But there are so many options for the Bills on offense. And they also did a smash-bang job at stuffing the run. That outside of one big play from a guy who was taking his first ever snap on offense, that's so Bill Belichick. It's so Bill Belichick. I could see Mike McDaniel doing that too. Kyle Shanahan, I could see those guys doing something like that too. First time he ever lined up on the offense, though you've heard his name recently because he had a, well, it wasn't quite a walk-off, but it was a game-winning punt return for a touchdown against the Jets. But this is Marcus Jones in a different place.
Second down and four now with Jones to work from the gun at the Buffalo 48. Takes the snap, play fake inside throw, left for Marcus Jones. Look at ahead to the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Run. The rookie is loose to the 10.
Two
scores. Touchdown, Patriots.
They dumped him.
On the first offensive play of his NFL career.
They told me in pregame, be ready for something early. They wouldn't tell me, but they slipped the defensive back into the lineup. Flexed him all the way out to the right.
Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio. And yes, Marcus Jones has had quite a month, quite a few weeks. It's a rookie. He's making a name for himself. Whatever Belichick asked him to do, he's game. And last night it was the longest play from scrimmage. It was by far the longest offensive play for the Patriots. And they do take a 7-3 lead in the first quarter. But as I say, once the Bills started to commandeer the line and were able to run the ball, once Josh Allen started working that ball around to his various options, the Bills settled in and this became lopsided.
Josh in the gun, second and goal from the 8. Takes it. Fakes the handoff, wants to throw, fires one into the end zone. Caught! It is a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, touchdown Buffalo. An 8-yard shot from Josh Allen. He threw it on the money for the Buffalo touchdown. Josh Allen goes shotgun. Two receivers lined up right side, one to the left. Josh looks, going to throw. Pressured, moves to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chase to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone. There's a flag on the play.
Yeah, it's going to be a hold on the defense. This is going to stand. What a play by Josh. Getting barreled down outside of the pocket and able to make the throw with
Mac
Wilson.
Before the pass was thrown, holding defense number 13. This penalty is declined. The result of the play is a touchdown.
John Murphy and Eric Wood on Bills Radio. I was looking at the play-by-play chart because I often go back to kind of look at how long possessions take and how many plays, how many snaps they are. The touchdown to Stephon Diggs, which culminated an 82-yard drive, was about 5 minutes, just under 5 minutes, the possession for the Bills. The Gabe Davis touchdown drive, 7 minutes and 46 seconds. So right there, you've got a five-minute drive and a near eight-minute drive. Do you know those weren't even the longest drives of the game for the Buffalo Bills? Nah. 15 plays, 94 yards, 8 minutes and 55 seconds in this one's second half.
Third and goal from the 1. Bills looking to cash in. Allen working from the gun.
two receivers off to the right. Singletary shifts to the right. Handoff, Singletary, a blast up the middle. Touchdown, Buffalo. Devin Singletary slices in. And the Bills build on their lead. It's 23-7, 14:31 to go in the fourth.
Ian Eagle getting into the action there on Westwood One, a 9-minute drive. I hate to state the obvious, but I will. It's hard to score when you don't have the football. So as much as we can talk about the Patriots offense and the questions persist about where are the Patriots points and why can't they finish drives, why aren't they able to do anything with what they have? It's really difficult to score when you have the ball 16 minutes fewer than your opponent. That's tough. On your own field, and you get dominated in time of possession and ball control. Josh Allen and the Bills go 3-for-3 in the red zone. Again, he was under duress. He saw a fair amount of pressure. A lot of QB hits, if not official sacks, but 223 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And they were able to run the ball, which was enormous. 9 of 15 on third down, and a lot of that has to do with this methodical march that we saw in New England last night.
I thought Doris did a good job of mixing those in. I thought Motor and James ran the ball extremely hard. We were skipping some third downs, which is always a plus. And then when we did have third downs, we were putting our noses down and going and getting it, being really physical, playing some physical football. So, again, the more that we can get those guys going, it's just going to open up so many different things for us.
And on the flip side, because the Bills' defense was well-rested, well, that's one of the reasons, they had plenty of time to sit and breathe and take it all in, see the sights there in Foxborough. Because they were well-rested and able to sit on their rears for good chunks of time, they had plenty of energy when it came to stopping the run. So New England only manages 60 yards rushing. They tried, and then they tried too much, and Mac Jones wanted to do something different. We'll get to that. But on the Buffalo defensive side, I think maybe they don't get as much credit, even though over the course of the season, they have been the number one defense at different points. But Tremaine Edmonds, Shaq Lawson, they wanted to make that Patriots offense one-dimensional. They wanted to force Mac Jones to throw the football. He actually wanted to throw the football too. And they did well at kind of taking away the strength of the Pats.
We pride ourselves on stopping the run. It's not always pretty, but, you know, I think guys did a good job this week of, you know, taking accountability towards that and, you know, practicing hard and, you know, making sure that we, you know, got net assignment taken care of. So hats off to the defense, hats off to the guys up front, man, because that's the unit to get this defense going.
Roll dogs, you know, roll warriors, just trying to find a way to win. You know, took a team effort, couple ring football all three ways. I mean, just find a way to win. And we know down December football is most important now.
All of them are big, man, especially when you go on the road, third road game in a row. You can really look at it like that, third road game in a row, to be able to go on the road in a hostile environment like this and play the way we did. It's huge.
Big fan of Jordan Poyer. And as he points out, that game in Detroit that was a home game, but in Detroit, that also counts, right? Because they're away from home. And so three road games in 12 days, and they won them all. And now they've got the same number of wins as the Chiefs. Poyer with a tackle for a loss and a pass defense, though, man, it certainly could have been an interception. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's not necessarily a duck. That's what I've learned from the NFL catch rules, or the catch rules that I don't understand. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of throwing the football, Mac Jones had a moment caught on film in which he is screaming about throwing the football. I would not be able to keep my job if I read you the quote verbatim. Plus, producer Jay would freak out and hit the dub button multiple times because he would be worried about losing his job. Essentially, on Amazon Prime, where they don't care about using the F word, it's the internet, for heaven's sakes. In fact, if it's the internet, you would think they'd be able to use that.
Okay. Right, yeah.
Anyway.
Just a stream, right?
It is.
They can play whatever they want.
We can't, but they can.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, he was caught very clearly on film, and it's gone viral. All you have to do, in fact, I came in and I said, Jay, do you see the Mac Jones video? No, Google Mac Jones video. There it was. Throw the bleeping ball. The quick game sucks. And then he follows it up with an exclamation point in the form of another F-bomb. Essentially, he wanted to go downfield. He wanted to go vertical. And yeah, he was screaming. Now, people said, I don't know who people are. They said, I'm going to put it off on somebody else because I didn't see who he was screaming at. But the rumors are that he was screaming at his de facto offensive coordinator, Matt Patricia.
Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me. But, you know, we're kind of playing from behind. And what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better. But it's the short game that we kept going to, which was working. But I felt like we needed chunk plays, and, you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going, and that's emotional, that's football. I'm passionate about this game, and obviously you don't want to get your emotions, that, you know, get the best of you, but, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark.
I have no problem with that, but my question is, do you believe in producer Jay when he says, A, it wasn't directed at anyone, B, I just kind of said it to get everyone going?
No, I think it was clearly directed at somebody at the time to bring frustration, but I do think that that was a pretty good recovery of the incident.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Kick save and a beauty, baby. Kick save and a beauty. I have no problem with it. I can understand why he's frustrated. They haven't been able to put points on the board. Against the Vikings, they looked a little better. And I said this too, Mac Jones had a higher completion rate. Even when they do move the ball up and down the field, though, they're not necessarily getting points or getting opportunities in the red zone. So what gives, Ramondre Stevenson?
We're just not consistent enough. You know, we drive the ball, get into the red area, things like that, but we can't score. So we just need to, you know, work on that and just work on finishing our drives.
Had some opportunities, but just nothing in particular, just in general, not quite good enough in any area.
Red area,
offensively, the making plays in the kicking game. So it's about the end of it.
That's not even my favorite bite from Bill Belichick last night. So they've lost three straight to Buffalo. On the flip side, this is the Bills' first win in division this year. So that's a big step for them. And again, on the road, Patriots fall back to 6-6. And you rarely hear. Now, Bill Belichick may choose not to use words, but you don't often hear him where he's at a loss for words.
Not really too much to say here. Just obviously just couldn't do enough tonight. Again, give Buffalo credit. They're a good football team. But we just couldn't do enough.
That's not the scientific explanation, but yeah, it was fairly lopsided outside of that one surprise with Marcus Jones.
I really can't control that.
You're just mean. Oh gosh. Producer Jay loves him some Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and who else drops? Who are your other favorites? We don't get a coughing fit from Jerry Jones because that was kind of my favorite moment of the week. I liked it. Let's see. Who else do I love to hear from? Oh, stop.
Excuse me.
I'm going to need some Jack to go with that cough.
Get me some oxygen.
Oh, man. I hope he's got that on hand when the Cowboys host the Colts on Sunday night. There's going to be a lot of people paying attention to him, but whether
that's
or not.
That's a fact.
Whether or not he needs some oxygen, or whether or not he's having Jack up there in his. What are the chances he's drinking Jack to control his cough up there in his suite? I think
probably
this is
high.
Pretty good chance. Okay, coming up, we're going to sandwich it in because it's Saturday morning and we finally heard from Christian Pulisic, not only about the upcoming win or go home game against the Netherlands. We love win or go home in the United States. As sports fans, we dig win or go home. It's an elimination game, if you will, for the USA against the Netherlands. And Pulisic also speaks about the injury. You know, that one. It's After Hours with
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rezaian back inside. U.S. players are gassed. Iranians are up. It comes into the box again. An Iranian player looking for a penalty. And the game is over.
Oh. We worked so hard as a group to be in these type of positions. And Iran played a beautiful game. But, you know, thanks to Christian, he put it away and got hurt in the process. But we love him and we thank him. And, I mean, we're through. So, I mean, it's a great feeling.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Timothy Weah, member of the U.S. men's national team, following what was a very tense and long, drawn-out, seemingly forever nine stoppage minutes against Iran for the United States to advance to the group stage or out of the group stage. They had to win that game. They could not draw, obviously could not lose. And it seemed like those 30 minutes for the end of the game and stoppage time were 30 hours. When I was talking to former U.S. national team member Vincenzo Bernardo on the show earlier, he said it was really exciting. And I responded with, you say exciting. I think heart palpitations, stress, anxiety, can barely sit down, can only look through a crack in my fingers. Also, it's very distracting that every time I look at the TV, I see Mac Jones screaming the F-bomb. Right now, the NFL Network's replaying the game, and he's so upset. And also, I've got SportsCenter up, and they keep replaying the video as well. Poor guy. I mean, Patrick Peterson was only headlines for about 12 hours until Mac Jones came along.
As long as their food.
And usurped all of his headlines. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Really looking forward to the game. I mean, we're talking about just over 24 hours from now. We finally heard from Christian Pulisic. So he looks good, smiling, has said that he's doing everything he possibly can to be ready. But before we hear from him about the game against the Netherlands, what about that goal against Iran, his first ever World Cup goal?
Very emotional moment for me, just the whole match leading up to it, you know, knowing you need a win going into it. You know, the pressure was on, and I'm really happy that I could have that moment and just help the team and score. And yeah, it was a big relief and just really excited and hoping that there's a lot more to come.
Well, there could be more to come if Christian is healthy and is able to play come Saturday morning.
I'm feeling better for sure in the days after the game. Obviously, it was a painful one, but I'll be working with the medical staff, you know, in all the days leading up and doing everything I can to make sure that I'm ready for Saturday.
Scale of 1 to 10, like how much pain are you in right now? Like what are you dealing with right now?
No, standing here, I'm okay. I'm not feeling pain. It's in a lot of movements. It caused a lot of pain in sort of my abdomen and just in subtle movements. But I'm gonna, you know, like I said, work hard to make sure that I'll be 100%, you know, come game time.
He said he was in a lot of pain. We could clearly see that even after the training staff got him upright and he got back out there on the pitch to finish the first half against Iran. He was only really half of himself. He looked like every movement was causing him pain. Well, you know, we as reporters, members of the media, journalists, we ask probing questions. We can be intrusive. And so the follow-up question, of course, was about the type of pain and the injury itself.
This might be too much information, but like, can you tell us what exactly like you were feeling when you woke up the next morning after the game, for example, and what exactly a pelvic contusion is?
They all giggle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pelvic contusion, you know.
It's not a euphemism, Henry.
No, but at the same time, it's not. Like, I didn't get, like, hit in the balls, but, like...
I'm all right.
It was very painful, and it just, you know, that bone is there for a reason to protect you, I think.
Okay. I hit it well,
and yeah. It was sore, but like I said, I'm getting better.
Yeah. All right, that's definitely a Gen Z thing. Also, the giggling and the facial expressions when he pops up with that. And that went viral too. So Mac Jones, Christian Pulisic, they actually might be able to use fake IDs for one another. Pulisic's a little darker. Christian's a little darker. Anyway, he just out with it. I did not get hit because I bet. Okay. I bet that he saw all of the chatter on social media about how that's what happened to him, about how he wasn't going to be able to father children. I mean, that was the funny line that was on social media after that collision in the goal. But still, my favorite part of that, that's not a euphemism, Henry.
It's not a euphemism, Henry. That's what it sounds like.
When he says it's a pelvic contusion, it is in fact a pelvic contusion. And if you missed my story of a pelvic contusion, you're going to have to get the podcast. I'm not retelling it, but I can speak to that. It is a real thing. Just take my word for it. You don't want one. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Looking ahead to Holland. They're a very prolific offense. So what will it take for the United States to advance past this game on Saturday into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, Tim Weah?
The whole world, I think we all know that Netherlands is a big team, a lot of quality players. I think this group, you know, we rely on our team mentality, our togetherness, our hard work, and I feel like, you know, we're confident against anyone. We just have to go out there and apply ourselves and do what we have to do to get the job done.
It's a team that has a ton of energy, obviously, partly because of their youth, but also because winning is contagious. The more you do it, the more you want to. First time ever that the USA will meet the Netherlands in an actual game that counts, so not a friendly. And the U.S. will have a much better shot if Christian is out there on the pitch. But also, they've got to take advantage of their fouls. All right, so what happens when there's a foul is the team gets a throw-in, right, or gets a free kick. Best case scenario, it's in the box and you get a penalty kick. You don't want to be giving those up. It's a little bit like a foul in basketball, right, where you get to take the ball inbounds or you get free throws. So not that different. Soccer's not that hard to understand. It actually incorporates elements of hockey. If you like hockey, there's a lot of hockey in soccer, just a much bigger surface. But when they have the opportunity, when they incur the fouls, whether it's yellow cards or whether it's just a whistle, they've got to use those. They're called set pieces in soccer to be able to generate some offense. They've got to generate more offense because the Netherlands will generate offense.
We certainly have created some chances. You know, there have been a lot of moments in transition, however, where we can be a little bit sharper. We can pick out that final pass and hopefully create more. But you're right, set pieces is a huge area for this team. It's a huge strength for this team. And so, you know, having to go back and look at the plays, watch all of them, see what we can do differently, see what areas we can hit, what runs we can make. Is everyone doing their job? It's going to come down to little things on set pieces. And so we definitely need to work on those and make sure that can be a real strength of ours, because I think we have the personnel to score goals off of set pieces.
That's Walker Zimmerman, the Superman who saved their game against Iran. Oh my gosh, the number of times that he was able to head the ball out of the box, because he's tall and he has great leaping ability, and he would leap up over the top of his mark and head the ball away. But also the moment that I'll never forget, the 97th minute, they're dog tired. They're about to drop on the pitch, and the ball squirts through the legs of goalie Matt Turner and flying through the box as the ball is rolling, rolling, rolling. It was headed for the goal, the cavernous mouth of the goal. It was headed for the goal until Walker Zimmerman flew through the box and kicked it away. Uh-huh. Superman. So that's Walker. One more with Christian. It's because I love this from him. He obviously was crushed when they didn't make the World Cup 4 years ago. He was on that team. He missed his opportunity. He felt like it was 4 years, not necessarily wasted, but 4 years that he would never get back. Now here he is. He's had his World Cup goal, and it was an incredible moment. Really emotional, he said, but he doesn't want it to stop now or end here.
I'm really happy with just the team spirit, what this team has shown, the way we've fought through, you know, all the challenges that we've seen. And obviously to get out of the group is an unbelievable accomplishment. So as far as myself, I'm happy with the performances. To score a goal and help the team in any way I can it is what I'm here to do. So, you know, I want to make big plays and I want to do what I can to help this team. But I by no means want that to be the only thing I look back on this tournament. So there's still a lot ahead of this team and myself.
Is that the boom moment of the week, Jay? Christian Pulisic's goal? And we only have the TV call, which is unfortunate, but come on, how do you get bigger than that?
It might have to be.
That was phenomenal. Christian, by the way, did an exclusive with Fox Sports and Jenny Taff before he then sat down to talk about his little thunders at a press conference that was broadcast to the entire world. Don't do it. Don't do it. We don't need to hear it again. If you missed my conversation with Vincenzo Bernardo, former USA national team member at the youth level, U17, U21, great stuff with him about how the U.S. is playing now and what makes this team special, and also their game against Holland and how they can defeat the Netherlands. Not the Nether regions, but the Netherlands. We've just got a few minutes left. It's probably good. They're about to give me the hook right off the air. Happy Friday
to
you.
Having the ball in your hands.
Jay, why? Why? Jay's hiding behind a computer screen. This is time when we need like the serious member of the trio, Brad Heller, to take it away. It's
after the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
After Hours.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness. It's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown,
Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's a little deja vu. Last hour was NFC, now it's the AFC, and that's where week 13 kicked off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Lots of booing for the Patriots offense and lots of discontent. Certainly, Mac Jones frustrated. We saw that. We could read the lips, and he wants you to know.
It's accountability. It starts with me, and I think I want to be coached harder. I want to be a better player. And the coaches have given us everything they've got, and they've done everything to put us in position to win. But I want to hold everybody accountable, including myself. So I think that's, you know, it's tough, right? You get called out a little bit, or you have to admit that you didn't do your job. I mean, that's part of the game, and a lot of that blame falls on me. I didn't do my best tonight. I think a lot of other guys play with a lot of good effort. We played with effort. I played with effort. I'm going to give it everything I got every week, no matter what. So I'll go until the wheels fall off.
I actually like to see the emotion from Mac Jones because you don't hear it as much pregame, postgame, during the week. I like that there's fire there and that he's taking accountability. I think that's good for the team. It can only be good for the team. As for Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, they just went through a murderer's row, really. Three games on the road in 12 days. The snowstorm, everything entailed with that. The two games on Thursdays. Whew, they survived what was the stretch that was super tough, and now they've got the 9 wins.
We could have used every excuse in the book, but our guys, you know, we work extremely hard. We care about each other, care about each other's families, and I think, you know, when you have that type of love in the locker room, you know, you're going to find ways to win football games. And, it wasn't easy, I'll say that.
Here's how it stands in the AFC East. No longer four teams above 500, but there are no losing teams. Bills at 9-3. Dolphins riding one of the longest win streaks in the NFL. They're at 8-3. But, man, a tough road game for them this weekend on the San Francisco 49ers and that tough defense. So that's coming up as one of the marquee games of the week. The Jets, 7-4. And they would like to stay right there with the Dolphins, kind of keep pace and see if they can rattle cages and potentially win a division title before this thing is all said and done. Yeah, big weekend for Mike White. Second consecutive start for him. And he really would like to stop answering your questions about Zach Wilson.
Whenever you're looking over your shoulder, you're not going to play to your true potential. So the human aspect of it, you're definitely going to, but you got to find a way, whatever your process is or your mental ability is, to erase that and just go play.
I don't think he needs to be worried about Zach Wilson. As long as the team's winning, I don't anticipate the Jets making a QB change again. That's as long as they're winning, because the goal now is to end their playoff drought. And if they can continue to challenge for the AFC East title, then they're not going to pull a quarterback who's navigating the team, navigating the offense, and helping them win. That's what Kirk Cousins has done. He says that with Kevin O'Connell, he feels as though he's empowered. He's having as much fun as he ever has. Excuse me. We know the Vikings certainly have a prolific offense, and it's going to be a lot to handle for Quinnen Williams and the Jets.
I think he's an amazing quarterback, man. He makes the throws. They got receivers that make unbelievable catches, and they run their offense well oiled. So you got a great running back, great quarterback, great offensive lineman, a great receiver. So it's going to be a challenge and a great opportunity.
Lots of greats in there, but he's right. Great running back, great line, great receivers, quarterbacks playing great. Sauce Gardner, he's a rookie. So when he tells you he's excited to face Justin Jefferson, I wonder if this will be a one-and-done thing.
These are the type of games that I love. You know, I love going against the best. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know our guys in the secondary, they're looking forward to it as well.
Ooh, be careful what you wish for. Jets and Vikings this weekend, Dolphins and Niners, two cross-conference games that I think will be a lot of fun, and they pit winning teams against each other. What is the After Hours Game of the Week? You can find our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Week 13 also marks the return of one Deshaun Watson from his 11-game suspension. And for the first time yesterday, first time in 4 months, he spoke to the media.
I just want to say I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be back around my teammates. I also want to thank the Browns organization, the ownership, my teammates in that locker room, all the coaching staff for all the support that they had for me. Especially my time away. Just trying to, whatever I can do to play football in 2022. So, you know, most of the settlement stuff with the NFL was mostly my agency and legal team. I had no control. My main focus was doing everything I need to do so I can play this year.
Sean, part of your agreement with the league was to undergo counseling and therapy while you were away. What did you learn about yourself during that time, and how do you apply that to now and going forward?
I respect your question, I understand, but that's more in that phase of clinical and legal stuff. And, I've been advised to, you know, stay away from that and keep that personal.
Of course he has. So we're not going to get any type of talk about growth or personal reflection or how the time away might have been good for him or how he served that suspension. It's clinical. I'm not going to talk about his clinical aspects right now, only about the football. I will say this about Deshaun. He had very high praise for Jacoby Brissett, who definitely deserves it.
The big brother he's been to me and everyone in that locker room, the passion, the grit, the leadership he has shown these past weeks, everyone has seen it. I mean, he's the ultimate guy that everyone wants to, you know, follow. So he's been awesome for me. Our relationship has been great. The bond has been great.
Yes, Jacoby deserves all of that and then some for how he's handled a situation like this one. Unconventional, to be sure. Glad he went out with a big touchdown pass at the end of the fourth quarter against the Bucks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We've done a lot of talk about Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos offense, the mess that it is this week. But Baltimore Ravens, Patrick Queen specifically, you underestimate Russ at your own peril.
Everybody knows Russell Wilson, what he did in the past, and he's still capable of it. So when you got a guy like that knows the game, is very athletic, got an arm, he could do it all. You got to prep. You got to be at your all-time best with prepping.
I love Russ.
I mean, who doesn't love Russ? A lot of people that don't love Russ. You missed our conversation with Troy Rank about really the cold, hard truth. He does not pull punches about how bad it's gotten in Denver. You can check that out on our podcast. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. I know you're circling this one for Sunday, the Chargers and the Raiders, who've actually won two in a row. Justin Herbert, he's improving, this coach that calls him the gangster quarterback.
Sometimes it's good to take a sack and be protected with the football instead of forcing something to happen that's not there. And so each sack has a story, and you got to make sure you look at it. And, I just think the one thing that Justin's proven is that he's an outstanding decision maker and that he's really strong with the ball. And I think although we've had 9 sacks, we've had 0 fumbles, and that's important to be strong with the football. And that's how you win games in the league, is protecting the football.
Every sack has a story. It's so poetic. I like that. All right, gangster quarterback. It should be a good one.
A gangster quarterback.
The Raiders and Derek Carr have a chance to face their former teammate in Khalil Mack, which is another storyline coming out of week 13. Even as half the Dolphins are former Niners, it's a small fraternity in the NFL. And this weekend, we've got a ton of games that feature not just playoff implications, but also winning teams against one another. And then Cleveland and Houston, too. Teams that are not winning teams, but still a lot of eyeballs there as well. So yeah, this is going to be fun. Week 13, first weekend of December. What? I still cannot get over it. I can't. But you know what I did on Thursday in honor of week 13? I whipped up a pot of chili because it was chili and it was football. I might have. Nah, I don't know if the chili goes with soccer at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, it might.
All right, we're going to talk Sunday night when you have opened this gift of a sports weekend. Enjoy it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.